We'll do something in Sudar, again, it's a massive topic, but this is, you know, a place to do some of it, and it's very important for both Basra and in general. So I think I gave you some Armakobos already. So just to add to it a little bit, you know, some of the famous Gemaras, and we'll we won't do the exhaustive job, but we'll at least, you know, touch on some of the main things. That's so, in addition to the things I already gave, the Gemara Bava Metzia, of course, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. That's the discussion of Rab and Levi, whether in Kinyan Sudar, it's Kelev Shel Kona or Kelev Shel, you know, Makne. We'll explain it. And just, you know, the Shaklavatari of the Gemara explaining, like, you know, what each of those positions is based on. And if you get a chance to look, for sure, Tosis there, and the Ritva, but also at the Rebbe Gash and Chita Mukovetzis there, important. So that's that Gemara. Just to be familiar, if you're not, if you haven't learned Kedusha, just, you know, the a little bit of the Shaklavatari of the Gemara of Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses where the Isha is Miskadeshes B'Chalipin, that Gemara, and a couple of Rambam and Ravids, the Rambam and Ravid Ukhlas Mechira, Perek Chavtes, Halacha Ches and Tes, and Hilkos Avadim, Perek He Halacha Gimel, the Ravid in the Gemara here in Bava Basra, and up Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim, you know, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim, the Ein Tzorch Lomar Ksovu. First of all, this is the Shaklavatari, what that means in the Gemara, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim. Basically, if you make a Kinyan Sudar in the presence of two witnesses, that can convert into a Shtar. That's what the Gemara seems to say. What is that halacha, of course? And on that Gemara, there's a in the Shita Mukubetzis and Bava Basra, they quote the position of the Ravid, which is, you know, should be coordinated with the Shita that the Ravid quotes in Parakeh, Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Tes. And also just be familiar with Tosis and Bava Basra on that Gemara, on that Mem Amud Aleph. The, you know, same Tosis appears in many different places. If you get a chance, the Ramban and Daf Ayin Zayin in Bava Basra on that issue, or on a different issue, I should say, the issue of Tosis is the issue of whether you need Ede Kiyum for Kinyan Sudar. The issue in the Ramban is, you know, what exactly the relationship is between, you know, a Kinyan and the Shtar that could be produced, you know, by it. Can you hold that up? Can you you know, prevent that from happening, etc. And if you get a chance, also Tosin and Kiddushin, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, what's quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Shmaya. I'm going to go through these things quickly again. We're not going to spend so much. It's really one big issue, but with a lot of ramifications. So also just in that connection, the Gemara, again in Bava Basra, I'm especially trying to throw in the Bava Basra ones, since that's the Masechta. The Gemara Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Yud Dalid, which some of you are learning on anyway in the afternoon or in the evening. So the question of Chazara, when can you be, how much time do you have to be Chozer when you make a Kinyan, and whether there's a difference between types of Kinyanim. So that's the Gemara in Kuf Yud Dalid. And if you get a chance to look at the Rush and the Nebuke Yosef, and the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Parakei Halacha Yud. Okay? And the Shulchan Aruch, Choshe Mishpat, Kuf Tzadi Hei, the Shach, in the name of the Ir Shushan. Okay? Also, the issue of Kolsa Kinyano, very, very, very in and out, very quickly. The Gemara Nedarim Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Ran there, I'll explain what it is in a minute. And the Meiri in Nedarim Mem Ches Amud Beis, and the Rambam in Kesef Mishnah, Mechira, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha, Zayin. Kolsa Kinyano is a situation where you make a delayed Kinyan, a Kinyan Lachar Zman, and the issue is whether or not, you know, you need a remnant of the basis of that kinyan at the time when it's kal. In other words, let's say I say, at mekudeshes, b'shtar zeh la'achar lamed yom. Okay, not mikan la'achar lamed yom, but la'achar lamed yom. And as it's called the delayed kiddusha. So if you do that, does the shtar, which is the method of the Maisa Kinyan, does that have to be extant on Yom Shloshim? Or is it enough that it's, in existence now on Yom Rishon? Okay, that's an interesting question. That's a question of Kolsa Kinyano. So I'm interested to know about Kolsa Kinyano in a Kinyan Sudar. Okay, so that's to fill in Kinyan Sudar. And then also we want to talk just a little bit more. I think I gave you Mar Makomos a little bit already. For Chalukas Hashutfas here in this sugya, the question of Lechazeku Kni, and so on. Did I give you that? Look at the Rishonim here. Tosis, we already talked about, we're going to get back to it today. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush, and the Meiri here, if you didn't see it yet. The Ramban here. In other words, do you need Lechazeku Kni here? Are there any differences between the Kinyan Chazakah in this Gemara about breaking up a Shutfas, than other cases? And we'll talk already in a minute about it. The Ramban, the Rajba, if you get a chance, the Tshuvas HaRajba, Aleph Reish Kavav, the Rush here. If you get a chance, the Netziv and the Shiltos, Kuf Lametes Dalid, and I think I mentioned already, if I didn't, I'm not sure if I read these makaros. Hagos Maimunios on this on Ravashi here in the Sogya, and the Shach Kuf Nun Zayin Dalid, and the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos also. Meaning, is there anything different about the Kinyan Chazaka of a situation where you had a Shutfas and you're breaking it up into two different Kinyanim, as opposed to a regular Das Makna? Reuven owns a field, and now Shimon is acquiring it from him, through a kinyan chazak. Are there any differences between those things? And again, there'll be overlap between, these different elements. So also just a little bit more on Shutfas, massive topic, but we're not going to discuss it so much more, but just like to get a sense of, what Shutfas to begin with is, that's helpful for understanding the significance of breaking up a Shutfas. And, you can imagine, what the issue is. You can also imagine that it's colossal topic. Maybe we'll do it at some point, but just now I want to just do a quick in and out. Meaning, to what extent, Shutfas is just, itself, the ownership of two people or a number of people. Is it really more like individual ownership? Is it pure collective ownership? What exactly is, Shutfas? Is it, both of those elements? Everybody owns a half, but both own the whole? Like, that kind of question. So just, very briefly, to look at, Rashi and Tosis and Gittin on Mem Zayin of the base, the Ran and the Darim on Mem Vav of the base, regarding Breira, Beit Sadaf Lametes of the base, Maiser Behema, Rashi and Sota Mem Gimel of the base. And actually, there's an interesting, Tani will be excited, the interesting Gilyoni Ashas on Sota Mem Gimel on the base, where he puts together some of the Mar Makomos, on these issues. Okay, so I mean, that'll just be to kind of, document very briefly, the kind of questions that we're speaking about, depending on how you understand what Shutfas is, and how, therefore what happens when you break up a Shutfas. That is very consequential to, determining whether or not what's happening, in this case is any different than when you start from scratch. But we're going to be discussing all these things, together, basically. So let's talk, let's start. Again, we don't have so much time today, unfortunately. So let's just begin where we were. So somebody read the Gemara already. Let's have somebody else, read it again. Abe Horowitz. Yeah. Start getting some of the newer people in. Just read the Shach V'Tari again that we already read. We read it But very quickly, just to get us back to where we were on the question of Kinyan Dvarim, and then... Yeah, so this is the Gemara's question, right? If there's an agreement, you know, in a Chatzar Shein Bo Din Chalukah to split it, right? At the end of the day, you know, that shouldn't have any legal, you know, binding character, right? Because it's Efshar B'Chazara, because there was no Kinyan that took place, right? Okay. So now the Gemara says, no, there was a Kinyan Sudar, and of course the Gemara is assuming that a Kinyan Sudar will be Chal on this kind of an agreement to split the property, you know, a Kinyan Sudar will be Chal. Okay. So that, you know, even just in terms of what we were just talking about a minute ago, you know, that can already, you can imagine that that can be understood in one of two ways, right? One way is that, you know, even if we're talking about something which is fundamentally just a commitment, in the end of the day, you know, if you strengthen a commitment, you know, with a Kinyan, that somehow, you know, that makes it binding. Okay? So, that's, you know, probably the simplest shot. Another possibility, especially in light of the Marmokobos I just gave you, and we already, I think, mentioned it anyway on Thursday, Abe, is what? Not so much that, you know, a Kinyan will help you, make binding a commitment per se, but what? Say again? Just a little louder, because I just can't hear. Meaning that there's more here than simply a commitment. Maybe there's more here than simply a commitment. Right? Now, how would that be, or what would that be? If you're a good detective. Even just based on what, you know, the last things that I was giving you some marmacombos to look at. Maybe. Meaning, is this a typical, you know, I meet you in the street, I say, you know, I'm going to come over and mow your lawn tomorrow. Right? You're shaking your head like, I wouldn't want him to mow my lawn. Right? Try me. I've done it all. Right? I say, I'm going to mow your lawn tomorrow. Can I be chozer? For sure. Let's say I made a Kinyan Sudar. I'm going to mow your lawn tomorrow. Right? I mean, it looks like a skiras polalim, but you know, let's say that is a polo. Right? So that's the same thing here or not? Say louder. Okay, but I'm saying, so it depends how serious I am, or what else does it depend? We have no relationship. This is the point I'm trying to make. Right? I mean, we do, hopefully, but like when I come over as your neighbor or just on the street, and I say I'm gonna mow your lawn, you know, there's no framework, right? So it's much easier. We'll see whether, you know, that can ever be a commitment. But you know, aside from schiras polim, and we have to figure out how that works too, right? But schiras polim is obviously at least something that I want to, you know, establish. You know, it's a legal relationship of some sort. Right? But if I just say to you, I'm going to come mow your lawn, right, and we have no previous legal ties, and so it's a promise, basically, a commitment. And the question is whether promises and commitment, now again, a promise and a commitment is something that should be honored, you know, both because of Midbar Sheker, Tirchak, for sure. And as I say, there's a general concept, you know, of, you know, a Dvarim, you know, that a person should, you know, should be serious about their commitments. You know, even if it's not a question of lying, right? Lying is usually about truth and falsehood. You know, it's not about living up to a commitment. So again, if I know that I'm not going to do it, that might be an element of Midbar Shakir Tirchak. But mostly Midbar Shakir Tirchak means telling the truth, telling a lie. But the concept of, you know, Dvarim Yeshlem Mishum Rechusrei Amana, right? You know, that you should live up to your word is a serious issue. But there are words and there are words. So this is more a question of the truth. Is a very fascinating question. It's a very tricky question. Let's say in general, I make a hiskaibus to you, right? So most Rishonim are the opinion that if I make a stab, if I make a hiskaibus for you, it's nothing. To you, it's nothing. If there's no kinyan, and then again, you know, if a kinyan is going to be effective, it's going to be, you know, it's going to have to deal with the question of our sugya right here. You know, is it kinyan dvarim or more than that? As it happens, it's not, you know, there are cases here and there where a hiskaibus alone, you know, does work. Okay, so, for example, the way the Rif and the Rambam, this is background, understood the Gemara in Ksuvah Saf Kuf Beis, and most Rishonim didn't understand it this way, but the Rif and the Rambam did. It sounds like there are hiskaibuyos, right, which are binding, you know, and that's the Rambam. Did I bring it? That's okay. Yeah, so if you look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Tesvav, right, the Rambam says, "Abchayv atzmo b'mamon la'acher." But this is where, you know, it's an interesting, a little bit of an interesting issue. It's better and it's worse, right? So he's mechayv atzmo b'mamon la'acher. The hischaibus is a legal one. You know, I commit to giving you money, right? Below t'nai klal. So the Rambam says, "Afal pi shelo haya chayav lo klum," even though, you know, there was no obligation, no one's claiming that there's a debt, right, or anything like that. Hare zechayav. Shadavar zeh kemo matanahu ve'eino asmachta. Again, this isn't our case. This isn't kinyan devarim. You know, this is actually, this is his chaibus. It's almost like the flip case, but it's just important to have like a framework. This is his chaibus, you know, beli kinyan, the pashtus, his chaibus momo. So it's not dvarim. Right? Typically, in our minds and in our experience, and mostly this is true in the halachic system, right? A kinyan requires two things. Number one, it requires a kinyan. And it should be about something which is inherently, you know, kinyani. In other words, where the substance, the token, is a kinyan. So typically, most Rishonim don't agree with this Rambam, or many Rishonim don't agree with this Rambam and Rif. They think that, you know, you really need a kinyan in order to, you know, be obligated to give somebody money when you don't owe him. To initiate a schaibus mamon, which is not Devarim, right, that's Mamon, right, you need a kinyan. The Rambam of the Rif, read the Gemara in Ksuvos, as saying, you can be mechayiv yourself, b'mamon la'acher, shadavar zeh kimo matana ve'ena asmachta. Ketzad, ha'omel edim heyu alai edim, right, shanichayiv l'ploni mana, osha kasam b'shtar, harini chayiv l'kam mana, afa b'shen sham edim. Osha Amar Bifneidim, or any Chayv Lechamana Bishtar. Alpha Bishlo Amar Atamedai, Hov Amar Bishtar, is a Kemisha Amar Heyu Alayedim. This is all to show that he's serious. The Chayv Lechalim. Alpha Bishishne Modim Vaedim Yodim Shalohayalo Etzlo Klum. Sharichiev Atmo Vegamar Vishibed Atmo. Kimo, this is the key line of the Rambam. We've talked about it not this year or last year, but maybe last year, no, maybe not, but definitely previous years for some of the people. Kemo sheyishtabed ha'arev, Right? The Rambam knows this is not such a simple psak. Right? So it's based on Shibud Ha'arev. Very interesting Rambam. The next Rambam is Chiyav Atzmo B'Dabar She'enon Katsu Kigon She'amar Reini Chayav Lazun Osach Or Oschav O Lexuschav Kamei Shanim Af Pisha Konim Yado Lo Nishtabed Shezukim O'matana Hi Ve'im Kan Dabar Yadua Umatsui Shanasna B'matana V'chein Horu Rabosai. Also controversial. This is a Davar She'im Bo Kitzva. This whole parak of the Rambam, parak in Aleph, is the parak about that begins with Tnai and Asmachta. Right, Amakna Bein Bekarka Bein Betalpan Hisna Tnaim Efshel Kaiman Bein Shehisna Amakna Bein Shehisa Kona. In the Skaima Tnaim Nikna a Davar Shehukna Im Lo Niska Im Lo Kona Kvar Biyarnu Mishpatei Tnaim. Right, the Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam speaks about Mishpatei Tnaim mostly in Hilchos Ishus and also in Hilchos Chiyu Matan, like the main parts. B'medvar Mamurim v'shekonim b'derech min adrachim shekonim mahem b'arei yesh olav l'kayim esatina abel im lo kona ata v'hisna imo she'im yiskayim t'nai zeh yikne v'im lo yiskayim lo yikne. But he doesn't say I'm making a kinyan al t'nai. He says if you do this then I'll make a kinyan im. Right, not kisha, not a t'nai attached to the present kinyan, but a t'nai that he will make a kinyan, he'll do something in the future, right? Lo yikne. Afa pisha niskai matai lo kona shezu asmachta. That's a chiddush of the Rambam. They're all massive topics, but shari samach kniyaso lasos kach v'kach. Kol asmachta ina kona shari legomar b'libo lahaknos. And the Rambam, most of this parak is about asmachta. Very interesting. Okay. So the Rambam starts off talking about a kinyan b'tanai. Then he talks about, again, most Rishonim think that an asmachta is simply a guzma. And what it is that determines a guzma, formally and structurally, you know, is a massive debate. You know, what the conditions of asmachta are. And of course, we pass in asmachta lokanya, and you know that's a debate in the Gemara, etc. The Rambam, the Chiddush is that asmachta isn't just a guzma; it's a structural point. You know, it's a future; it's a commitment to a future, kenya, to a future kenya. It's what's sometimes called das al tanai, not kinyan al tanai. So, basically, that doesn't work. And in that same parak, after discussing Inyani Asmachta, right, so the Rambam speaks about, what about Hischaibus Momon, without a Kinyan? Hischaibus Momon B'davar Katsu, without a Kinyan. That's the Rambam that I just read. Then the next halacha is, but even with a Kinyan, you need a Davar Katsu. Okay, why am I telling you all this? This whole discussion, is all about the framework of when the relationship between dibur or eschaibus, different types of eschaibios, kinyan, right, and what the nature of, what's being committed is. Like davar katsuv is important, that it should be mamoni is important. Right. Again, other Rishonim I should just mention. Even some of the Achronim don't understand the Rambam this way, that you can have a binding Eschaivus and a Davar Shel Mamon, without a kin. The Ksos and others understand that the Rambam is saying something totally different, something called a Kinyan Odisa. Based on their understanding of the Gemara later on in Bava Basra, I think it's Kuf Mem Tes. I don't know if anybody's up to there or not yet. But the story of Isar Giura, right? Is it Kuf Mem Tes? Anybody know or not? Nobody's up there. No? I thought the Masmidim, they like, they're like a couple hundred plot a week. No? Okay. So that's called, that's, you know, there's something called the fiction of a Kinyan Odisa, where you admit that, you know, you owe somebody money, even though we know you don't. Somehow that constitutes a kind of Kinyan Eschaibus. So the Ksos thinks that this Rambam and Rif and so on, they don't really mean that you could have a Eschaibus, you know, that's binding, right? They what they mean is it's called a Kinyan Odisa. And you'll see it in many Kinyanim, you know, that we, you know, use, or especially reinforced Kinyanim. We, you know, we often throw in a good Kinyan Odisa, you know. Yeah, but the Pashas, that's not what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that his chayvus alone, you know, is chal, legabe, a dvar Kinyan, you know, as long as it's a dabar katsuv. And if it's not katsuv, then Kinyan doesn't help you either. Okay, so this whole parak in the Rambam is just an example of like what the parameters are between, you know, commitment, kinyan, you know, the extent to which you need something in the present as opposed to a promise in the future. There's a very fine line between, you know, a eschaibus, you know, that is a legal eschaibus, you know, and a, you know, and a futuristic promise. Right. Kinyan dvarim is where you make a kinyan. That's why I say it's almost like the opposite, the parallel opposite in the Rambam's case. But you make a kinyan, you know, for something that on the surface, you know, is in its tochen, right? A commitment or promise, you know, but not, you know, a legal, you know, status. Okay. I'm going to give you money. That's one thing, especially if it's specific. In the case here in our Gemara, this is the case, you know, they are, you know, there's a commitment to break up, there's a partnership, that's a legal status that exists, and now there's a commitment to break up the partnership. So what I'm asking is basically, going back to what we were saying before, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara says, you know, it's a kinyan varim. The Gemara says, oh, you made a kinyan. And what the Gemara is saying is, yeah, and then the Gemara follows immediately by saying, you know, that's a kinyan dvar. Right? But in that mix, so again, the pashtus is, you know, yeah, here's a great example of a commitment or a promise, but one, you know, which is not, nothing happened in the present other than a promise. Right? The shuttus is still binding. It's not in a vacuum. Right, so what does the kinyan do if it didn't, the kinyan to break up a partnership when the kinyan isn't breaking up the partnership at the moment? And therefore, it's kinyan dvar. What I'm adding to the mix here a little bit is, like, is that really what's going on? And it's all very extreme, right? Or is there also like a subtext about Chalukas HaShutvas? And that's what we'll get back to. Namely, how do you look at the relationship between a partnership, you know, and the, you know, the termination of that partnership and the distribution, you know, of the parts? Because the more you look at it as, you know, the partnership is a certain, you know, concrete, legal entity, reality, you know, that not only transcends the sum of its parts, but, you know, doesn't really, you know, mostly acknowledge, at least, you know, in an upfront way, you know, the constituent parts. You know, so then you have, you know, you had just a radical change. You didn't actually initiate or implement the change. So you made a kinyan promising you know, to implement a very big change, you know, a transformation. And that's why the Gemara says, well, what is that? That's just Kidin Mariel. Right? However, if, you know, people in a partnership already have, you know, rights, whether it's to every molecule or, you know, they have half of every molecule, or, you know, they're half owners of the whole, or there are two things going on at the same time, whatever it is, you know, the more you see that the continuity, let's say, between, you know, the pre and the post, in other words, the termination isn't a blank slate. It's not yesh me'ay. You know, we're going to end the partnership, you know, and we're going to distribute, we're going to create two parts, you know, no different than, you know, if you were now being zochav in a hefker, or from buying from a das makne. Okay, each of you is buying from the, you know, from the das makne of the shutvas. Right? You know, but, so then, you know, that's one thing. So let's say I go to you and I say, you know, I commit to buy your property. You know, and I commit to buy your property with a kinyan. I'm not talking about shutvas, I mean a regular guy. My neighbor, you know, let's say he's not even my neighbor. I even have less connection to him than a stranger. Instead of offering to mow your lawn or committing to mow your lawn, I come over and say, you know what? I see that you're selling your property. You know, I commit to buy it. And the guy says, can you do a little better than that? Than a promise? Right? Can you make a kinyan? Because I make a kinyan to buy your property. Right? But he doesn't make a kinyan on the property. Right? At least that's a dabakatsu. So, like, what is that? Is that what happens in the case of chalukas ha-shutfos? Or no? You know, basically, I guess the more radical opposite way to look at it is to say, you know, of course you need to make kinyanim, there's no question about that. Right? But even so, you know, there's a kind of a, you know, redistribution, you know, of the, you know, of the shutfas, or, you know, a manifestation now of, you know, what is implicit in that shutfas anyway. You know, some things are being, you know, negated, and some things are being accentuated, and some things are just, you know, as they were. So if that's the case, and it's not a new yesh me'ayin, you know, kind of transaction, then maybe even absent, I think there could be two nafkamina. This is really what I'm talking about with those other makoros. There could be two nafkamina, right? One is, you know, do you need the same standard of kinyan, you know, that you do in a from scratch kinyan? Right? What about the lechazeku kni? We'll sum all this up when we see the details. What about, you know, let's say only one guy, you know, almost like a kinyan chalipin kind of thing, you know. You know, if A does, if A and B agree, this is how they're going to do it, you know. You know, when do you have that kind of situation where A does his and B automatically gets his, or no? A needs to make his kinyan, B needs to make, you know, his kinyan. So that's already, you know, one, or another thing, like what, you know, what type of chazaka do you need to make? You know, nal gadar paratz, or a lesser kind of chazak, right? Let's hearkening back to those people who were here last year, like what about a kinyan peros, you know, instead of a kinyan, you know, beguf, or some other lesser, you know, demonstration. Because if what you're trying to accomplish, you know, is less of a transformation, you know, then it's reasonable. If it's more like, oh, we're redistributing, you know, we're kind of reallocating how this, you know, how the original, the framework of the original kinyan is still there in some respects. But if you ask me, you know, that might have some impact also on the question of Kinyan Zavarit. Because again, you know, when I, even absent making the Kinyan now, you know, the actual Kinyan, you know, maybe, you know, what we're saying, you know, is that Bechlal, you know, every Shutfas, you know, is at least partly, if not fully, right, the foundation for individual Kinyanim. And therefore, it's not a Stama promise, something extraneous. It's a, you know, it's not just an intention, right? It's a chalos of the redistribution. So I think all of this, you know, is something to think about. When the Gemara says originally that line, in other words, I guess the problem is when the Gemara says, you know, that there was a Kinyan. So the Gemara at that point was just basically saying, yeah, and, you know, Yesh Kinyan B'dvarim. You know, and then the Gemara was enlightened. And the next line, the Gemara says, well, how's the next line, Abe? Abe, go ahead. Oh, we had to read the next line already? Oh. So the Gemara is saying, again, that there are two ways to read that line, right? Just like there's two ways to read the previous line. Same two ways, right? If the previous line says, yeah, there's no such thing as Kinyan Dvarim B'Alma, now the Gemara is saying, but there is something called, you know, Kinyan doesn't work for anything. Kinyan is a legal category. It only works, you know, when there's some kind of present legal chalos. And then we have to figure out what exactly, either way, we have to figure out what the parameters of that are. That's certainly what the Gemara is saying, right? But what I'm saying, the two ways to read it is the Gemara was clueless of that idea. The Gemara thought, you know, a Kinyan can be used to reinforce a promise. And then the Gemara says, not true. There has to be some sort of a legal, you know, status involved for a Kinyan to be tofes in any way. Or the Gemara thought, the Gemara knew that, you know, Sama promise, you know, is never going to be subject to a Kinyan. But the Gemara thought that this is more than a promise, because this is talking about breaking its chalukas hashutfas. You know, but there is a framework, and it's going to be, to some extent, you know, a redistribution, or, you know, a reversal, you know, like, you know, kind of, you know, going back to, you know, to, for that first, you know, ontological moment of the shutfas, you know, when there are two of them and they're not, you know, yet a collective. So the Gemara thought that that's enough to solve the problem of Kinyan Dvarim. And then the Gemara says, well, it isn't. You know, you need more. Why? Because it's still a katsuv only? And that's the factor? Or the Gemara is now challenging, you know, what Chalukas HaShutfas is, and saying, what, you think Chalukas HaShutfas is redistribution? It's a totally new Kinyan from whole cloth. It's no different than a stranger, or something in between. Again, you know, you could, you know, we don't want to detail this to death either, but it's hard to know where to draw the line. All I'm saying is, in the bigger picture, I think there are two perspectives, is what I'm trying to say. The Gemara thinks that Shutfas is typical, new Kinyan, and the discussion is, you know, whether Kinyan Suda works or doesn't work for Dvarim. And then Shutfas is no different, or if it is different, that's still not part of that part of the argument. Maybe that's a separate point. It could be that Shutfas is different with regard to the kind of Kinyan that you need, you know, to restructure, or maybe it isn't restructuring, even to, you know, and that doesn't mean that that affects Kinyan Dvarim, or no. Okay, so those, I think, are two ways. We'll try to, you know, part of it is hard to pin down. Now, this idea, you know, that maybe Kinyan could help, you know, if there's a Habamina that the Gemara thought that it is Dvarim, but Kinyan helps, like, how would that work? Like, how, why does a kinyan help a promise? It's also something to speak about for a minute. How does a kinyan help a promise? Everybody with me? I'm saying, if the Gemara never had a hava mina that chalukas hashutfus is already a legal issue, you know, and therefore it's not completely devarim, so then the Gemara, for at least a split second, thought, we could say, okay, you know, that's a shock of Atarya. Fine. Ezra? Yeah, you mean the Rambam that we... Oh, so I'm glad you brought that up. What is Hey Yud Gimel? Yeah. The Rambam here is... I told you to look at that one, right? Right, yeah?
Yeah.
So just read, Ezra, if you don't mind. This is really, really important. One second. Yeah. Basically, Parakei, starting from Halacha Yud Aleph, just go ahead. Oh. So this, of course, is exactly our topic, right? There are many things that don't need a kinyan, but the Rambam, it's fascinating that the Rambam is coming, this is the Rambam, there's no Gemara that says this. I mean, this is, of course, the amalgamation of Gemaras as the Rambam understood it. But this is, you know, the Rambam, you know, displaying his powers, you know, stepping back and doing what we're, you know, attempting to do too, which is like survey and try to figure out, you know, what this whole issue is all about. So the Rambam's saying there are two opposite things here, right? There are things that don't need a kinyan. I mean, they're binding without a kinyan. Okay? And as I mentioned before, the Rambam thinks that his chaibus, not the way the Ksos and others read it, right? His chaibus without a kinyan sometimes works too. There are many other things that don't need a kinyan, as we'll discuss, as we'll show. Not needing a kinyan, the ein l'kinyan b'hem tam, what does that mean? Ezra, in the kinyan b'tam means you don't need them, but also they don't add anything. Or you could say that sometimes you don't need something, but it's a chalos, it adds, it strengthens. Maybe there's a nafkamini, you do it this way, you do that. Like we were talking about, you know, dina de garmi the other day, right? Even if you paskin dina de garmi, that doesn't mean that, you know, it's always the equivalent of maisa b'adayin. Right? There still could be nafkamina. So here too, so say you don't. Yesh dvarim harbe shein tzrichin kinyan. The ein l'kinyan behem tam means, and it doesn't do anything. Kagon. I mean, if you do all these things. But some of them are kinyanim, but you don't, the kinyan, added kinyan doesn't do anything. Right? Shechor Eved, Geirushin, especially if they're not really kinyanim, but it's more like Nesina, it's a matir. Osa Shliach is a great example. Right? You make somebody a Shliach, that is illegal. You know, Shulchan Shalom Kamoso, he's now, you know, operating on your behalf. But to appoint the Shliach, to be your legal representative, you might have thought that that would require a kinyan, but it doesn't. So let's say you do a big kinyan. There are actually Rishonim who think that if you make a shliach big kinyan, that it has a different status. And there might be nafkimina, you know, in terms of firing him, in terms of la'akar moso, you know, things of that sort. Yeah, the Ram says, moser moda'a, mevato moda'a, Mochel Kaber. Mochel Kaber Chov is interesting because that's a big question. Does the Rambam think that Mechila is a Kinyan or it's not a Kinyan? It's just a Siluk, right? V'kein Kol Kiyotz V'dorma. Keep going. Yeah, this is of course fascinating. A little history. But in my opinion, like all histories practically in the Rambam, right? You know, they are here, you know, to make the bigger point, to show there's something to, sometimes they're here to show that they're completely wrong, and sometimes they're here because there's something to it, although technically it's wrong. We'll explain. Nog rov amakomos lahaknos lemixa seil dron kesvet. And by the way, it's totally true. And even with this Rambam, it's still true. Right, when you want to sell your chametz to the rabbi, you know, all sorts of stuff's going on there, you know, including in many cases making, like, you know, him a shliach al yidei kinyan, which the Rambam thinks is just a waste of time. The omrim, the kaninu. Yeah, people are doing, they're piling on these kinyanim. Go ahead, kinyan zeh. Oh, so, lefikach. Yeah, but the Rambam, that's what I'm saying, is so amazing about this Rambam. He's telling you, by telling you, you know, he's like, when people do it, there's something to it. It's just wrong. But when it merges, the Rambam is telling you that sometimes a kinyan can be an expression of more intense seriousness or gemiras das. The Rambam's only saying, well, in cases where you don't need a kinyan, you can project or convey that gemiras das, right? Just you know, without a kinyan. But you just, you know, it leaves you appreciating, number one, like our Gemara. Right? Like, you know, the Gemara thought, assuming that it is the radical view, for a second the Gemara thought, you know, a haftaka b'alma, right? What's got to do with a kinyan? Right? The answer is, oh, a lot. It's a din in gemiras das. But not only that, you wonder whether or not, in some cases, where you do need a kinyan, once you have this notion in the back of your head that gemiras das, you know, is, people associate, and they're not completely wrong, you know, kinyan with gemiras das, you wonder, you know, whether or not, two things. Number one, in some cases, gemiras das can't substitute for a kinyan. A little bit of Parakid Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, right, like Arev, and in certain things, and in other cases, you wonder whether the need for a kinyan, right, isn't itself a more formalized or a more intense form of Gemiras Das that you can't get simply Ayidei Eskaifos, a concretization of the Das, right? Now, of course, this is, you know, we'll get to it in 1 more second. This is the reason I told you to get a look at those other marmakomos. Is all this true about regular kinyanim? Or is all this true particularly about kinyan suda? Right? There's a very, very compelling, you know, argument to be made that, you know, when our Gemara is talking about b'kana miyado, it means kinyan sudar, as the Rambam says, and that, you know, that's not a coincidence. You know, that of all kinyanim, the one that most, you know, could have been, you know, attached to Dvarim is the one that most works when you need it as an expression of Gemiras Das. And that is Kinyan Sudar. Right? Kinyan Sudar, we'll discuss some of the ramifications, but you know, just thinking about it, like, it's fascinating the Kinyan Suda doesn't appear on the lists, right? Like the Mishnah in Kiddushin, you know, Karka's Niknes, you know, Begimel Dvar. You know? Chazaka, Ishtar, Kesa. Right, so the Rishonim even ask, like, you know, what about Kinyan Suda? Right? You know, the sugyas in Bava Basra that speak about, you know, kinyanim in the mochers, you know, the Taltalin, the Sira, you know, Meshicha, Hagba'a, all those things. Like, where's Kinyan Sudar? Well, Kinyan Sudar, course, is like the universal Kenyan. It's the, you know, that's probably the real line. I mean, we're trying to give different answers why it's not in the list, in Karka in particular. But and some of them say, oh, because it applies also to Talpur, this is like a unique list. They give other answers. But probably the bigger idea is that it's not that Kenyan Sutta works for Karka and Talpur. It works for everything. You know, it's a all things being equal, we'll get to it in some limitations, but all things being equal, it's the universal Kenyan, because it just works in a different way. Not that it works here, it works there. It works in both. It works in both because, you know, it's not a Karka or Metalkal, and it doesn't reduce to that. Right? Kenyan Sudar has nothing to do with the Gufa Davar, not its value, like Kesef, you know, not, you know, its location or description, you know, which you could get something like a shtar. And certainly not in terms of some sort of maisa that you lechazei gukni, hazaka, or meshicha, or hagba, or mesira. Right? It's just, you know, very odd kinyan when you think about it. It's the most ubiquitous and universal of kinyanim, and it's also, you know, completely menutak from the chetza, you know, hanikna. This is probably, again, why it's not on the list. It doesn't need to be on the list. You know, and that's why you get some very interesting discussions. That's what I wanted you to look at very quickly. Like, how does kinyan sudar, you know. So, is it a coincidence, you know, that when the Gemara was thinking, you know, that maybe there's something called Kinyan Devarim, that they were thinking, you know, that it would be through Kinyan Sudar, Vekanu, Vekanu, Vekanu Mine, Vekanu Miyane. And how wrong kind of is it? And this whole Rambam, you know, is about Kinyan Sudar, as he himself, you know, points out. Rambam says, Stam Kinyan means, the word Kinyan or Konamiyado means, you know, Kinyan Sudar. That's a very, very clear in the Rambam here, in Parakeh. And, you know, this whole, it's amazing, I mean, from Halacha Yud Aleph, right through the end of the Parak, through Halacha Yud Aleph, you know, is this whole issue. Keep going, just Kinyan Zeshenogu Lahaknos Be'elo Advar Me'enimol Klum. Oh, yeah, that we read already. Right, hadvarim shein by mamish. So again, it's fascinating at the Rambam. Is that's how he's concluding this little section with what? The din of Kinyan Dvarim B'Alma. Right. So is the point in the Rambam, right, Shaharei lo hikna l'chaber dover mesuyam v'yadua? Right? Lo ikar lo peros ikar hayadua? Or is that just a symptom? Is that the problem of Kinyan Dvarim? That it's eino katsuv? Like he said in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tes Yud Zayin or whatever it was, that's the problem, or that's a symptom of the fact that it's just a commitment, you know, without a cheftza, you know, without, you know, a something immediate or something transformative, etc. Right, and then the Ravid just says Omer Avraham Alavala Shituf Atzmo Nikna Bekinyan. Right, we'll get back to that. But the bigger point is that the whole end of Parakeh is the, you know, is the Parakeh Yechus Mechira is about Kinyan Sudar. That's what it is. Right? So, and it's here where he says that Stam, you know, Kinyan, the word Kinyan, means Kinyan Sudar. Okay. So, I don't think it's a coincidence that that, yeah.
Is there a reason the Rambam specifies shtar in Halacha Gedalet?
Let's see. So I think that's, I didn't notice that. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I do think the answer is yes. This is connected to the problem. The closest thing to Kinyan Sudar is Shach. Okay, that's connected to the Gemara, but we'll elaborate more fully on Daf Mem Amud Aleph that I was talking about before. You know, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim Ein Tzarich Lomar Ksuvu. And it's particularly so. Oh, we have to stop. But for the Rambam in Perek Chav Tes, we'll discuss it. Halacha Ches and Tes, or Tes, where the Rambam says, you know, there's a line, but we'll get back to it. Here. The Eina Kinyan, this is Halacha Tes. The Eina Kinyan Miara Katan Klum, Sha Kinyan Bishtar. The Ein Ha'edim Chosmim Alal Shtar Shal Adam Gadol. Okay? So we'll get back to that. That's a very... People have different girsos in that Rambam. Some have the girsa, and Shulchan Aruch has this girsa. Ein Ha'kinyan Gunsha Kinyan Kishtar The Ein Chosmim Elal Shtar Shal Adam Gadol. Okay. Meaning, this the connection between Sudar and Shtar probably... is responsible. I didn't even notice that point here, but you're right. Even in Halacha Yudalit, even when he talks about Devarim, that he mentions Shtar. There's a very intimate kesher. I mean, that's the question. When the Gemara says, you know, Adap Mem and other places, Stam Kinyan L'Ksiva Omeid. The question is that just an Umdana? Would people make a Kinyan Sudar Mistama? They want you also to document it in a shtar, or it's really that there's a bond, there's a connection between these two types. I'll explain that. Okay, I'm gonna have to stop. Sorry, we didn't get very far, but okay. This in terms of what we did today, we'll continue with this tomorrow. But right. So basically, what I'm trying to show so far is I got several things. Number one. This is the Gemara about Kinyan Devarim. There's a Havamina that Yesh Kinyan Devarim, and then there's the Gemara's Psak that Ein Kinyan Devarim, right? And then going back to what we said on Thursday, the Gemara says that if they were Kona Baruchos, that that's okay. And basically what I'm saying is something about all three of those stages. Right? On the first stage, which is Yesh Kinyan al Devarim, right? If that, like, why would that be? And is that only in Kinyan Sudar? And does that tell you something about the nature of Kinyan Sudar and Kinyanim in general, etc.? Or the only reason that there is even such a Habamina is because we're also dealing, you know, with an interesting other issue. And that is the question of breaking up or chalukas, you know, shutfus. So maybe chalukas shutfus is more or has elements of redistribution in it, rather than, you know, just, you know, no framework whatsoever in a haftacha bi'alma. And that's something that we need to look at more. Then comes the point of, well, the Gemara says it is kinyan devarim, and the Gemara says it doesn't work. So, depending on what we just said about the first point, you know, where do we draw the line? What is Kinyan Devarim? What is not? This Rambam, of course, very crucial for that. You know, people throw it in all over the place, even though it's basically Kinyan Devarim. Either because it's unnecessary or because it doesn't work. The ones that don't work are certainly Kinyan Devarim. Probably the ones that are unnecessary, the addition is Devarim. But the Rambam also reflects, also explains why you would have thought there might have been Kinyan Devarim. In the process, and that, as I say, raises the ante in terms of figuring out what is unique about Kinyan Sudar, especially Kinyan Sudar, etc. And then, of course, we need to examine other cases in the Halacha where it appears that there is Kinyan Devarim, right? Like Shomer Chinam, and you know, committing to a ksuva down the road, and you know, committing to, you know, a different kind of din Torah. Like, why aren't those just haftachos, you know, bialma? And that's something to think about very carefully. And then when the Gemara says, no, it's okay, it's good, it's not kinyan dvarim, because it's, you know, it's they, you know, it's a kinyan baruchos. So if that means it's a regular typical kinyan, then that line doesn't help us very much, frankly. It means, oh no, they made the kinyan right now to split up the property. If it means something else, namely, even if they, this isn't the final kinyan to split up the property, but you know, there could be a kinyan, like a midway point kinyan, you know, to you know, to divide the ruchos for when they make the ultimate dissolution. So then you have again a kind of a kinyan dvarim that works, or it isn't dvarim, but it isn't full kinyan either. And then you're going to wonder, is that a shut? Again, back to the first question, is that just because of the shutfus, you know, redistribution angle, or you know, is that a paradigm for other things? Okay, so we have a shutfin issue, we have a sudar issue, and we have a general question about what constitutes like the foundation for needing and having the effectiveness of kinyan. Okay, so we'll try to make a lot of headway with this tomorrow, hopefully between tomorrow and Tuesday, to get through a chunk of it, and we'll continue then. Okay.